Hallelujah. Have you had a good time the last couple nights?
Yes.
I've had a wonderful time. I really believe that not only, though, are we receiving things of the Spirit like we received last night, you know, and the loaves and the fishes, because, you know, you want to see somebody come and give a meal, you know, but, you know, if they, you know, what I never liked was those services that you go to and they give you a meal, but they never seem to deliver the dessert. You know, well, last night, you know, we got the meal and the dessert. And,
yes.
You know, and the hors d'oeuvres and everything. You know? Hallelujah. The same the night before. But I believe that not only did you receive from the dessert, but that you also received from the main meal. I believe that it is building a fire in you to apply these things out of the Word of God, that you might walk farther into God in His perfect plan for your life, because that's what it's all about. I mean, people, you know, they think that, well, I got born again. Now, you know, I'm going to be received into heaven, and that's true, but it doesn't just stop right there. It goes farther than that. Hallelujah. I mean, we have a walk to walk out here on earth. We're supposed to bring heaven down to earth here for others around us. And how, if we're just sitting on a pew, born again, keeping it to ourselves, how are we going to bring heaven down to someone else? Hallelujah. Well, let's pick back up in John 14. I'm going to do a little bit of review, but I'm just going to be honest with you. It's not going to be much of a review, and so, you know, we still give tapes to anyone that wants tapes. We still mail out tapes, send tapes to whoever wants tapes. But we're also going to be putting all the messages on the website, www.charlierogers.org. And so you'll be able to get listen to the messages there or download them to a CD, whatever you want. But if you have a tape player and you don't have a CD player or you don't have a computer, we'll still mail the messages to you. All you have to do is give my wife your name and address, and she'll make sure that you get copies of the messages. You know, one way or the other, we'll get you copies of the messages. We don't want to leave anyone out or any avenue uncovered. See. But I just thank God for all the work that Tony has been doing on the website. She's been working diligently and hard to help us get it up and get it going. We've been praying for years now for the right person to come into focus, to come into the picture, to handle this. Because I knew that if we could get it up there on the internet, on the website, that it would go out throughout the different countries. And sure enough, you know, South Africa, Johannesburg, Zimbabwe, overseas in the Orient, China. There was one the other day from China. I didn't tell you that. China, Singapore, places like that. Of course, Peru and Brazil, down in South America, you know. And that foreign country to the south, Texas. Also. Lots of places. Hallelujah. I just thank God for all the work that she has done and that we have got it going. So you can find the written messages that we send out each month. If you got in on our mailing list late and you want to see some of the written messages from years past or months past, we'll go in there and take a look at them. They're there. Of course, all the audios are up now except for some single messages and, of course, the new ones that will be coming on. But all of our albums are our audio albums of the messages that are in series, all of those are on there now. Hallelujah. Lots of other things. Links to other places that you can get fed. You know, I'm not the only one preaching things like this. You know, Gary Carpenter Ministries out of Tulsa. Dave Roberson Ministries. Bronk Flint Ministries out of Immokalee, Florida. Hallelujah. Some awful good messages on there also. Hallelujah. In John chapter 14, I want to pick back up there because sometimes we get a little bit confused, you know. There's so many directions I could go with this, you know, and I I try to listen to the Holy Spirit. What I do is I take in everything I can. I pray in tongues a lot. I study. And then whatever direction He wants to go for a certain body, He knows the needs of that particular body where I'm going to be at. And so whatever direction He takes, that is what needs to be taught or preached at that time for that particular body, for that particular group of people. And it may land right in the middle of somebody in the congregation. It may land right in the middle of several of them in the congregation. Some may get one part of it and not another part, and later they'll pick up the other part. But I take in all that I can take in the Word of God. And let Him zero in on what He wants to zero. But if you don't give Him something to work with, how's He going to work with you? See? So you got to begin at some point taking in things and praying in the Holy Ghost that whenever He wants to use you and use your mouth through an open door, He can do it. But now's the time to start preparing. You don't have to worry about a place to preach or a place to share the gospel. Hey, there's plenty of places. You know, the fields are ripe for harvest. Amen. See, what you got to do is begin to offer yourself over to the Holy Spirit, the Helper. And that's what He called Him here in John 14, starting in verse 13. Whatever you ask in My name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in heaven. If you ask anything in My name, I will do it. If you love Me, keep My commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Helper. Jesus had said, I'm going to have to go. I'm not going to be here any longer. My time has come for Me to go and sit down at the right hand of the Father. But He said this. He said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send a Helper, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, that you might have a Helper and a Comforter that will carry you through. See, the job of the Holy Spirit is to carry you through until the day of redemption. That you might be delivered to the day of redemption, saved, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I mean, He entrusted your life, your family's life, your brothers and sisters. He entrusted their lives, your lives, to the Holy Spirit. He didn't send an angel. He sent the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, that you might be taken care of until the day of redemption.
Amen.
See. Well, there must have been a reason why He sent the Holy Spirit to keep you. There must have been something that you were going to have to face in those days to come. There must have been something that was going to be a possibility that if He didn't send the Holy Spirit, that you would be lost. But no, He sent the Holy Spirit that you might be saved until the day of redemption. That day that Jesus returns and we get a glorified body and we join the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, as His bride. There must have been a reason. He says, I will pray the Father and He will give you another Helper that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. And why did He call Him the Spirit of Truth? Why would He say that? And why is He called the Spirit of Truth? Let me tell you something. The biggest weapon that Satan has in his arsenal is deception. That's the biggest weapon that he has to use against us is deception. If he can deceive you out of your salvation, it says that men are blinded by the God of this world. And until that light comes in and removes the blinders, they'll be blinded. They're already judged. See, you get to make a choice whether to be born again or not.
That's right.
If you don't accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're headed for hell automatically. No ifs, ands, buts about it. You're headed to hell unless you receive Him as your Lord and Savior. Unless you give your life unto Him, that's the way it is. You're already judged because the God of this world, Satan, has hid you from the gospel. But whenever the light comes in and you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior and the Holy Spirit comes in, see, our eyes give light to our bodies. We see through our eyes. Well, the Holy Spirit is the light of the gospel. He brings in the light for you to be able to see the truth. Without Him coming into your life, being renewed by being born again, renewed in your spirit, you can't see the truth. All you have is darkness. See? But He sent the Holy Spirit, the Helper. Boy, this is good stuff. I don't know whether you realize it, but this is good stuff, and you're getting it here today firsthand. Hallelujah. So He sent the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. He won't leave you alone unattended. You don't have to go through this walk by yourself. You have someone to make the walk with you. And His name is the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Because I'm sending a Helper, the Holy Spirit. And He's going to be with you. And He's going to bring you into that peace that you need, that you seek. Everybody in here, I'm sure everybody in here, including myself, seek peace in their lives. Everyone wants peace. Hallelujah. Nobody wants to live their life in turmoil. Well, He sent the Holy Spirit that you might have the peace, that you may be able to walk into that peace. Now, go on with me to, and we touched on it last night, but just a little bit. In chapter 15 of John, in verse 16, He said, you did not choose... Well, I tell you what, let's back up to verse 7. If you abide in Me, and My words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, it shall be done for you. By this My Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be My disciples. And He had just talked about the pruning of the branches and abiding in Him, and you delivering fruit because you let the Holy Spirit come in and prune things out of your life. Take things out of your life. In light, bring light upon your life that you may see the things according to the Word of God that need to be changed. To take these things out of your life. To remove them. To make a decision. What does it say in the Word of God? It says to put away all lying. Amen? That's what it says. It didn't say that God was going to take the lying from you. It said you're going to put away the lying. You make the decision to put away the lying. See, the decision that you make today will determine tomorrow. If you decide to pray today, it will determine results in the days to come. If you decide not to pray today, it's going to determine tomorrow. Your decisions that you make determine the days to come. See? And He sent the Holy Spirit that we might have a Helper. And He said, if you ask anything in My name, if you ask anything you desire, it shall be done for you. What things should you desire? The things that it takes for you to enlarge the kingdom of God, to cause increase in the kingdom of God. Not just to heap up on yourselves mammon. That's against the Word of God. That's sin, to heap up on yourself mammon. Just to heap more things upon yourself. He gave you all of that stuff. He gave you that nice car. He gave you that nice house that you might be covered and sheltered. Yes, but also that you might use these things for the gospel's sake. What do you think He gave you that raise for at work? What do you think you're believing for that raise for at work? It's to increase the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. See, these things are meant for increase in the kingdom of God, to be used that way. And He said, if you ask anything in My name, according to His Word, anything in My name, I will grant it to you. And He talked about this after that pruning job that the Holy Spirit was doing to your vine, that you could produce more fruit. And He goes on and it says in verse 16 of that same chapter, "You did not choose Me, but I chose you. And I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. But whatever you ask the Father in My name, He may give you." Now, what did He mean by that your fruit should remain? Well, we talked about the very first night. If you weren't here, you'll have to get the message later, one way or the other, like we talked about. We talked about the very first night, about that test of fire, that not to leave your foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, because you would be saved on that day of testing. Test by fire, you would be saved, but if your fruit wasn't good fruit, it wouldn't remain. The fruit that you lay up in heaven must be good fruit, or when that test of fire comes, if it's not in line with the Word of God, it'll be burned up like trash, like cheap trash. It'll just go up in a puff of smoke, in other words. But you'll be saved if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. See? But He wanted more than that. See, He wanted you to be able to lay up fruit in heaven by increasing the kingdom of God. And He says here, once again, He's talking about the very same thing. He said, "You did not choose Me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit," what? "Remain." Remain intact when the testing time comes. When the judgment time in heaven comes, that your fruit remain, that your reward in heaven remain, because it was built on a strong foundation, helped by the Holy Spirit, taking things out of your life and changing things in you. See, you gotta ask for change in yourself and begin to believe for that change before you can believe for change in your neighbor. How can you hold not aught against your neighbor and say that you're making intercession for them? "I'm believing they'll be saved. That dirty rat." You know, how can that work? Well, it won't. See, but if you allow the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to come in, begin to change things in your life, then all of a sudden you're making change and the fruit all of a sudden is starting to line up with the Word of God.
Amen.
And you're starting to walk in love. Well, now we're headed somewhere.
Amen.
Because now you're going to lay up a reward in heaven that's going to stand the test of fire and not be burned up. Now, we're not talking about salvation so much right now. I mean, I'm talking to what I believe probably is a group of believers for the most part that are born again going to heaven. But that's just where it starts at, as we've said. Well, there must be a reason He sent the Holy Spirit that you were going to need some help. Well, let me tell you something. The devil is still alive and well, and he studied us for thousands of years. He knows what makes us tick. He is your enemy. And I want to go over some things with you. You'll have to hang close with me. And some of this you may not quite grasp today, but if you'll pray about it and meditate on these things and go over and over them, you're going to be enlightened. You're going to have illumination brought to your spirit. You're going to begin to learn some things. See, you got to know your enemy. See, we're in a war. I don't know if you know it or not, but we're in a war. When you got born again, you entered a ferocious war. It's not all tulips and daisies, if you haven't discovered that yet. I mean, we would like to think that it is, and thank God for those high times.
Amen.
We feel that. But it's not all that. You know, we're going to be faced with adversity. Can you show me that in the Word of God? Gladly. Gladly. Hallelujah. First, turn with me. Let's take a look at something here. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. Hallelujah, Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. Now he lays out here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, he lays out God's plan, His callings, His plan for the body of Christ. And here's what he says. Verse 27, he said, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third, teachers, after that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. And these are the callings in the body of Christ. He laid these out, and He laid these out for a reason. Now, remember this. Satan's biggest weapon is deception. And his biggest thing is to counterfeit anything of God that he can counterfeit. And through this deception, he can deceive you into following him. And if he can get you to following him, he not only might, in a roundabout way, eventually steal your salvation. But even if he doesn't steal your salvation, he can steal that reward from you that you lay up in heaven. Through deception. And deceiving you on a path that is not what God intended, see. So we need to look at how Satan counterfeited these callings. He has a counterfeit in the Word of God where he counterfeits these callings of God. And we need to take a look at those. To take a look at those, I can save you some time and you can go to Ephesians. Turn over to Ephesians. Chapter 6. Keep a finger there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 because you might need to flip back and forth there to follow what I'm saying here. But in Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 11, he's talking about the armor of God. And if you want to read a teaching on the armor of God, go to our website. And I don't remember exactly the title, but read all of those written teachings. You'll find one there on the armor of God. I just can't remember the title of it right off or the date on it, but anyhow, it's there. It's there. And you can really find out what he meant in the armor of God.
I know what he meant. He meant that when I get up in the morning, I put on my shoes, the gospel of peace. And then I put on my helmet of salvation. And when I go to bed at night, I take off my helmet of salvation. I take off my shoes.
No, that's not what he meant. That's a fun, easy thing to say. I remember when I was taught that when I was first born again. I mean, they were teaching that left and right. That is wrong. That is not what he meant. But if you want to go to that teaching, you'll find out. It's there. If you want to email me or write me later, I'll look it up and make sure that you can get it. Or we got a search engine there. Put in the armor of God. Amen? Amen. Put in the armor of God and that'll pull up the teaching. But you can take a look at it. I'm still getting used to some of these things that we got. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now that wiles of the devil there, when you look it up in the Greek and you search it out, it's going to come with this meaning. Methodical penetration. Methodical penetration. The wiles of the devil. The wiles of your enemy. Okay, here's a good illustration. Here's a good illustration. Pastor Dave came up with this. I like this illustration. I've never left it because it is a good illustration. The methodical penetration. When a rock is under a dripping stream of water, and that drip, drips, drips, hitting that rock. Each time it drips, it hits that rock. Drip, drip, drip for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. It drips and drips on that rock and it wears it away. Does that sound like the devil to you?
Yes.
Amen. He's methodical. He thinks he has all the time in the world. We know better. He doesn't have time. But he thinks he does. And if he can deceive you into thinking and agreeing with him, then he'll wear and wear and wear and wear and wear you down. The methodical penetration of the devil. The wiles of the devil. Now that right there ought to have been worth coming this morning.
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's read on here just a little bit more. For those of you on the tape, the mic wasn't turned on. I don't know how you're going to get that. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Now look here. You need to highlight this, underline this, whatever it takes. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. This is not a war against flesh and blood. But what he's doing here, he's drawing a parallel to the Roman war machine. The old ancient Roman war machine. When he goes on into the armor of God, he describes our armor and compares it, draws a parallel to the Roman foot soldiers' equipment. And so he's drawing a parallel here to the Roman war machine. And he says, we do not war against flesh and blood. That's not what our war is. It's not against flesh and blood. But it's against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. He lays out here Satan's war machine. This is his war machine to counteract, to counterfeit God's callings upon this earth in the body of Christ. This is his war machine. This is how he's going to go about. Through these things, he's going to counterfeit what God does up here on this earth. See? All right. You say, well, how can that be? Well, and then he goes on, he says, therefore take up the armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. And then he goes into the armor of God. And we're not going to take that route today. Like I said, you can find it on that website. All right. He says, also we have audios there covering some of that also. So there's plenty of material there. You have to take the initiative to look it up and to listen to it and to read it. I know you'd like for the pastor to do it for you. It don't work that way. See, when you get to heaven, he's not going to be standing there holding your hand. You might require him to hold your hand a little bit here on earth while you're here. But when you get to heaven, he's not going to be standing there holding your hand. You're going to have to grow up sometime. See? Okay, moving right along. All right, so anyhow, this is how he counterfeits and counteracts, tries to counteract God's move upon the earth, his callings upon the earth. First of all, we've seen back in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the apostle, prophet, and teacher. We're going to divide these up. Apostle, prophet, and teacher. His counterpart to that is principalities. The apostle, the prophet, and the teacher establishes doctrine here on earth. That's the job. That's the callings of the apostle, the prophet, and the teacher. It's to establish doctrine here on earth. Now, the counterfeit from Satan is principalities. These principalities are just under Satan. They're next to Satan himself. And they indoctrinate people. Thence, Muslims, Hinduism. All doctrine, is it not? Takes in whole countries. Takes in whole areas, the whole Orient. Hinduism. The Middle East, Muslim, takes in whole areas. See, they established their doctrine to try to counterfeit what God is doing here on this earth. All right, the next is working on miracles and gifts of healings. Now, He has a counterfeit for that. This one, you'll easily recognize this one. You say, well, I don't know if I buy this. Well, you need to get in the Word of God. Check me out. Get in the Word of God. Meditate this out. Check me out. Pray in the Holy Ghost. And do that and do that and do that and do that. And then if you still have a question, I'll sit down with you. But I won't sit down with you until then. See, I don't like to counsel people unless they've prayed a lot. Because usually if they pray a lot, they get their answer without talking to me. Usually when somebody wants to come and talk to you, it's because they don't want to take the time to pray. They want you to do it for them. Well, you were shouting last night. What's the problem? Working of miracles and gifts of healings. Next set of callings in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Working of miracles and gifts of healings. The counterpart. Powers. The counterpart. Against powers. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, those that send out Satan's doctrine, and then what? Powers. Well, what's an example of these? How about a witch doctor levitating? Lying signs and wonders. How about stigmatas? Bleeding statues, crying statues, powers. See, God sent workings of miracles and gifts of healings as signs to the unbeliever and also to make the body of Christ well in their bodies and in their minds, in their hearts, in their emotions. See, working of miracles and gifts of healings. All these two are power gifts. What did Satan do? He set up a counterfeit. Powers. Lying signs and wonders to counterfeit what God is doing in this earth. All right, let's go on. I'm laying a foundation here, bringing you around to something. All this is good information, stuff that you didn't know about, stuff that you won't find a lot of other places. But I'm bringing you to something, so stick with me. Helps and governments, and those callings was helps and governments. Paired together, helps and governments. Those were designed by God to fund and carry out the instructions of the head of the church. Helps and governments. Helps and governments raise money for the gospel to go out throughout the world. Helps and governments help in the local churches and in the worldwide ministries and so forth to help carry out through websites or whatever. Help carry out the gospel throughout the world. They carry out the instructions of the head of the church. Who's the head of the church? Jesus. Helps in governments. Well, Satan had to counteract this. He had to counteract this. So what did he come up with? Rulers of the darkness of this age. Rulers of darkness. And these rulers of darkness, they don't report direct to Satan. They report to principalities. They're set into areas around Elkhart or other areas. And you all of a sudden, you get a hold of the Word of God, you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you start making that trek in prayer, and you know, you start praying long hours and start throwing in a little bit of fasting, going without food, you start worshiping God and holding up confession, calling Elkhart saved, and all of a sudden you start having miracle services, or something starts to move that you all of a sudden, people are getting born again, and people are getting healed and receiving miracles. What happened? An alarm goes out to Satan and his cohorts. Something is happening over here, and if we don't get after it and stop it, it's going to get out of hand. What are you all doing? And he sends that ruler of darkness, assigns some more to that area over there. What does he assign? Spiritual wickedness in high places. The next one on the list. Divers tongues, or diversities of tongues. That last one in the callings of God. God's lowest calling there. Varieties of tongues, diversities of tongues. See, He sent the Holy Spirit to minister to you and I, one-on-one, person-to-person. Did He not? Isn't that what we've been talking about the last two nights? That He sent the Holy Spirit to minister to you one-on-one? Your personal helper, your personal comforter, said He wouldn't leave you as an orphan. He brought sent the Holy Spirit to you and I. Well, Satan had to counteract that. I mean, he couldn't let that go. He had to try to counterfeit that. What did he do? He sent these spiritual wickedness in high places. What does high places that mean? That just means like mountaintop level below, basically. Down to you and I, down to humanity. In fact, he told Satan, he said, whenever he deceived Adam and Eve in the garden, he said, you're going to eat of the dust. All he meant there was, I mean, we thought he came to, we always had this image, you know, that he came to Eve, you know, looking all, you know, fine, like a fine gentleman with an apple to eat. You know, a snake standing on its tail, standing up to Eve. You know, that's the image that we had, you know, all decked out, you know, ready to deceive Eve with this apple. And then whenever he deceived Eve and he said, you'll eat of this dust, and we thought, well, now he's a snake that crawls on the ground. He was standing up, but now he's going to eat of this. No, that's not what he meant. What he meant was when he said, you'll eat of this dust, means you will only be able to minister to humanity. And see, he can't even do that unless he can get one of these assignments to do something for him. He has to get a Hitler to destroy millions of people before he can kill millions of people. Satan can't even do it himself. He has to get somebody like Hitler to do the job for him. He has to get somebody to murder people up in an Amish schoolhouse in Pennsylvania. He can't even do it himself. He has to get somebody that gets a murdering spirit assigned to him, spiritual wickedness. This spiritual wickedness that we're talking about that ministers to humanity, it's the one set out to deceive you and I. You only get these other assignments like the rulers of darkness or the powers of the principalities if you're doing something for the kingdom of God. They don't have to mess with you. Why should they mess with you when the spiritual wickedness has already got you corralled? Say, what is spiritual wickedness? Well, we sort of kind of labeled them low-level demons. You know, that label of low-level demons like jealousy, murder, envy, strife, contention, jealousy. Did I mention jealousy? Jealousy, contention, division, greed, love of money. My thing, the devil's really after me. He stole my car. My car broke down and he flooded my basement. Hey, if that's the best he can do, my goodness. I mean, he assigned a principality to take a whole nation to hell. He got into a man and caused millions to be incinerated in World War II. See, we're talking about Satan's war machine. And he is very methodical and he thinks he has all the time in the world to destroy you. And he will take the time to do it. And if he can't do it one way, then he'll try another. And it's all through deception. If he can get you to believing a certain way, low-level belief. Oh, they're talking about me in church. They don't need me. They don't need me anymore. I'm not useful to them. Deception. Taking you a wrong way. See? So see, he has a war machine that's set out to destroy you and I. To counterfeit everything that God has. Everything that God set into motion. He set up a counterfeit. See, he can't create. He just took all these demons, and believe me, there's plenty of them. I know you're one of those that believes there's a demon or two behind every bush. No, I just believe there's seven or eight. There's lots of them out there. There's lots of angels, too, that you can have at your disposal. But you also got the third person of the Godhead. That's even more important. That's even more important. Them angels are at your disposal. That's true. But you got the third person of the Godhead to begin to pray in other tongues that can start to change your life and begin to set into motion in your life things that will change you, that Satan can't use these spiritual wickedness in high places, can't use them against you because there's nothing to grab hold of. See? There's just one problem. If you're going to depend on somebody else to do your praying for you, it won't work. And you're going to be out on the outer fringes and Satan's going to have a heyday with your life. I'm believing for my family to turn to God and to serve God. Then you need to get in the Word of God and begin a lot of confession and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost that He can start to change you and set you as an example for them to look at. My enemy's done me wrong. Get in the Word of God and begin to set into motion the Holy Spirit to start to change your life, that you can begin to love them, that they'll have an example to look at. They see all that love, they can't help but turn eventually your way. Guess who won? You won. God won. The devil didn't win, but he will win if he can turn you into a monster hard to get along with and fighting with them all the time. How are you going to get them born again then? Well, let's look at one more place. So he sent these spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. He sent them to minister. Satan assigned them to minister to you and I, to try to counterfeit the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. And that's the only way that he can do it, is through these things. But they have to have something to get a hold of, you understand. They can't just do it. They have to have something to get a hold of. You have to let them. They can't force you. They can't force you to murder. You have to allow them to murder. To use you to murder. They can't force you to be greedy. Sin shall not have dominion over you. It's already settled. It was settled at the cross. Satan was defeated at the cross. We're here to enforce his defeat until that day comes that he's bound. Until the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're here for. We're here to use Satan to lay up a reward in heaven. You can use Satan and his devices to lay up a reward in heaven. See? Hallelujah. Well, I want to know how to counteract some more of this. I want to know how to put a stop to it in my life. Well, fine. Turn over to 1 Corinthians. I believe. 2 Corinthians, I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Once again, we're going right back over some stuff we just went over. I tell you, isn't the Word of God wonderful? I mean, you get in it over and over and meditate these books like 1 Corinthians over and over and over, reading them over and over and over and over. No, I didn't say just one time. Reading them over and over and over and over. All of a sudden, you start seeing things that you've seen somewhere else in the Word of God. You know why? Because the Word of God works together. It fits together. All you got to do is get in it and find out. That's why listening to these audios and so and things like and reading these messages is so important. But you can't just listen to an audio message one time. I mean, I remember when I used to get Pastor Roberson's tapes. He wasn't a pastor then. He was an evangelist. And I used to get his tapes and I would listen to them over and over and over until I wore them out. And I'd have to get a new set. You know, and now I get amazed at pastors and other preachers and stuff they'll get a tape and it'll be a good tape and you know the message is good and you know they need it, you know, and it could do some good in their life, and they listen to it one time, and that's it. And get those things and eat them. Devour them. My eastern Oklahoma's coming out. Devour them. Take them in over and over and over and over. Take these books and the Word of God and read them over and over and over and over. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare. Amen. We must be in a war. Are you getting that impression yet after this weekend that we must be in a war? Well, I'm not. I'm just going to sit here. I'm not going to be in no war. Hey, when you got born again, you don't have any choice. You're either going to go forward in this war or you're going to go behind, one or the other. You might end up in heaven born again, but you're going to get left behind when it comes to the rewards in heaven. And if you don't watch it, if he can deceive you into staying behind and not doing something, he might just deceive you right out of your salvation. That's what Satan's war machine is designed to do, to steal your salvation. Can he do that? Yeah, if he gets you to think in the wrong way. If he gets you to the point that you forsake Jesus as your Lord and Savior and giving your life over to Him, and you join up with some Mormon cult, you might have just lost your salvation. It's not that God doesn't want to get you back, because He does. He wants to do everything He can to get every person back that He can. But sometimes people get to going down the wrong path so far that He can't get them back. What then? It's His will that not one be lost. But if you're walking so far away from God, so far down that path away from Him, what's He going to do then? So the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down what?
Strongholds.
What do you think we've been talking about? Greed, contention, jealousy, division, strife, jealousy. Pulling down strongholds. What are strongholds? They're strongholds on your life. They're invisible bars. They put you in a prison that you can't see the bars. So the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. What strongholds? Casting down arguments. What arguments? Against the Word of God. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every thought, everything. The Holy Spirit will bring it to your remembrance. This is what the Word of God said. Oh yeah, I remember reading about that. I remember reading in the Word of God that I wasn't supposed to lay up for myself mammon here on earth. I remember now, I wasn't supposed to enter into greed. Oh yeah, that's against the knowledge of God. That's against the Word of God. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God is brought down. When you submit yourself to the Holy Spirit, that He can begin to pull down those strongholds in your life and shine light in those areas of your life that are not so pretty when the light is shined upon them. He can begin to help you remove those things from your life through the Word of God, through things in the Word of God, and Him, the Holy Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah! Glory be to God. I mean, the third person of the Godhead came to be our helper and came to help us pull down these strongholds in our lives, that we can pull down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and Satan no longer has a hold on our lives.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Did you get anything out of this today?
Amen.
Amen. It just makes me want to go out and pray in other tongues. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Now you've had a little look into Satan's war machine. We haven't even gone into it in detail. You've had a little look at that war machine that was designed to deceive you out of your salvation, to deceive you out of your reward in heaven, to take you down the wrong trail, to keep you out of the perfect will of God. See, it's God's intention for you to be in His perfect will. It's Satan's intention to keep you out of His perfect will, deceive you to every extent that he can. Maybe get you over in the permissive will. If he can get you over in the permissive will, then maybe he'll get you over into not being in God's will at all. If he can do one, he's certainly capable of doing the other unless we do something about it. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I've had a good time this weekend pulling that mask off of that deceiver, Satan, using the Holy Spirit to go in and whip that dirty rat. Hallelujah. Isn't this wonderful?
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. I don't know about you, boy. I'm just having a ball. Hallelujah. You going to preach this message again? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Most believers don't get things the first time. Now, there's a reason for that. You know, I make light of it and make jokes of it, but there's a reason for that. You have to spend a lot of time praying in other tongues if you're going to get a hold of some of this stuff and begin to invoke it in your life. See, He gave us these positional standings in the Word of God that unless you do them, they're not going to be activated in your life. They're not going to become a part of your life. For instance, let's just take one while we're at it. How about fasting? And let's just go to Matthew chapter 4. I'm winding up here, but I want you to go there right quick. Matthew chapter 4. This is just an example. This is just an example. Satan was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And there was one preacher one time, he said,
why would you want to be led up into the Spirit by the Holy Spirit?
Why would you want to be led up into the wilderness to fast? To be tempted by the devil. I can be tempted by the devil without fasting. Well, that wasn't the whole idea of it. That's not what he meant. But they're actually teaching that in some places in Tulsa that I know of. I won't name names. I'm not going to do that. But I'm telling you right now, that's some of the stuff that's going on.
Why should I fast? I can be tempted without fasting.
Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Well, After 40 days and 40 nights, you'll be hungry. That's okay. You know what I always tell people, you know, that come and say, well, would you help train me? Would you kind of be watchful over me and so forth, keep me on the right track? You know, I just tell them, I say, hey, listen, Sonic will be there afterwards. Go ahead and fast. It'll still be there after. It'll still be in business. Just because you're giving it a lot of business doesn't mean it won't be there after you get done with that fast. You know, Taco Bell will still be there. So anyhow, he said, when the tempter came to him, he said, if you're the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Satan was ministering to the flesh. And what happened? Jesus defeated him in that realm. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jesus defeated him. Guess what? Positional standing. It's yours. It's mine. You have it. He defeated Satan in the flesh realm. All right, let's go on. Then the devil took him into a holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. What did he minister to here? The soul, the emotions, the emotional realm, the soulish realm. That's what Satan was after here. He was ministering in the soul area. What did Jesus do? He said with the Word of God, you shall not tempt the Lord thy God. He defeated him. Where did he defeat him at? In the soulish realm. In the emotional realm. Positional standing. It's yours. It's mine. I've got a victory in that area laid up to my account. All I have to do is invoke it. How am I going to invoke it? Fasting. Goes on. We'll go ahead. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him. Look what he showed him here. All the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. And then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only will you serve. What is he ministering to here? Spirit. Loss of salvation. Spirit. Serve Satan. Serve me. Satan is saying, serve me, worship me. What did Jesus do? He said, away with you. You shall only worship the Lord your God, and only Him will you serve. Victory. In what? The spiritual realm. Now we've got body, soul, spirit. Victory in three areas. How do we invoke these positional standings in our life? By fasting. See, you thought that when you fasted, you were just going without food. I'm just going without food and nothing is happening. That's not what's happening at all. When you begin to fast, these positional standings in the Word of God that were given to you by Jesus, who gained the victory over Satan, all of a sudden when you begin to fast, you're invoking them in your own life. And there's other reasons in the Word of God to fast that I can show you, like removing doubt and unbelief out of your life. Several things in the Word of God that I can show you. Well, I thought, you know, whenever I fasted, it moved God. Because I know when I fasted, things began to happen. No, God don't need move. We're the ones that need moved. We're the ones that need the doubt and unbelief moved out of our lives. We're the ones with the strongholds in the soul, in the flesh, spiritual strongholds, false doctrine. We looked at one of those false doctrines last night. It must be for the good. All things work together for the good. Only if you're in the will of God, it will work together for the good. When you're following the will of God and His mind and His purpose on your life. See, something taken out of context and a whole denomination built on it. But Satan ministered in these three areas. Jesus turned around, defeated him with the Word of God and fasting. You know, if I were you, I'd think about fasting if I had some strongholds in my flesh. Lust. Strongholds in the soul. You know, emotional problems. I'd begin to fast. You know, isn't that tough to do? Oh, yeah, but you can do it. Hey, fast today. Start out by day. I didn't say fast supper. That's a diet. I said fast today. Fast for 24 hours. Eat salads for a couple of days. Fast for another 24 hours. Do that over and over and over. Pretty soon, all of a sudden, you say, I'm going to fast for 2 days. You fast for 2 days and eat a couple, 3 days. Fast for 2 days and eat a couple, 3 days. Pretty soon, you'll say, I'm going to fast for 5 days. Start somewhere. Somewhere, start. You want to defeat Satan and his devices, his war machine, don't you? You don't want to be defeated by him, do you? Then begin to put things into action, like praying in the Holy Ghost, confessing the Word of God, fasting, worship, all of these things. Worship ministers to the soul, turns the soul toward God, turns those emotions toward God, and they become desensitized with worship and the presence of God, carries you through those painful times in your body, in your mind. See, stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Did you get anything out of this? Hallelujah. I tell you what, I've had a wonderful time. I don't use notes very often, but in this case, I wanted to use notes because I wanted to make sure that I covered everything because I felt like it was important because I knew this would be new stuff to some people. Maybe a lot of people, I don't know, but anyhow. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. It's wonderful. He gave you answers in the Word of God. Quit waiting on somebody else to find them for you. Take in all the material, all the tapes, and all the right tapes with right doctrine, all the teachings that are right. You know, sometimes I see churches, they'll have in all kinds of speakers. One will be speaking about this. One will be speaking about that. It would be nice if they were all fitting together, but you got to be discernful about what you take in because one may come along teaching about confession, confessing the Word of God. Another one may come along and say, well, that's chanting. You don't want to do that. I mean, I've had some to tell me that. Now, I don't believe in that confession because that's chanting like a witch. Hey, God was here before Satan was.
Amen.
You know, it's not chanting. It's taking the Word of God and beginning to change things in your life. Changing strongholds in your life and areas around you. See? So you got to be careful about listening to too many different speakers. You kind of got to stay in the same vein. You know, you don't have to listen to me. There's others teaching the same stuff that I am. Listen to them if you don't like hearing my voice. If you start hearing it in the middle of the night, maybe God trying to speak to you. It's happened before. I remember this one fellow one time. He gave a friend of mine, he donated a rent house to the ministry. But he never did sign the title over. Never did sign the deed over. One day he came to my friend, and I think he was crying or at the point of crying. He came to him and he said, "My God." He said, "I got to get this deed over to you. I kept hearing your voice last night in the middle of the night. You're supposed to give that house to the ministry." kept hearing my friend's voice, you know. And I know what it was, you know. My friend was praying, you know, that he'd be obedient to what God had told him to do. Because that's all you can ask. You can't, you know, you can't enforce your will up on anyone. All you can do is pray, you know, for... Person, we pray all the time. We pray for people, you know. We pray for them that are giving to the ministry, but we also pray for those that aren't, if they're supposed to be. I tell God, I say, "God, I only want the ones that you designated to give into this ministry. That's what I want. Just the ones that you designated to give into this ministry. I ask, Father, that they be obedient." That's all you can ask. That's it. That's all you can ask. Hey, obedience is all that you can ask. Being obedient to God, you know. Of course, I still, you know, when it comes to this tithing and giving, you know, I think, well, let's see, let me figure this out. I was redeemed from the curse of the law concerning healing. Infirmities in my body. I'm not supposed to have this on my body because I was redeemed from the curse of the law. Amen? You agree with that?
Yes.
Then why do you feel like you're under a curse if you don't tithe? Meditate on it. I have a good time. Do I need to remind you of that? I told you that when I first came here, I said, "I have a good time. I have a good time when I preach. Let me."